How many of you are familiar with Hans Christian Andersen's story of the Emperor's New Clothes? All right, so familiar territory here. Well, if you don't know, the story is about an emperor who was obsessed with clothes, all of which he loved to display before his subjects. One day, two men came to his court claiming to be weavers. And they claimed to be able to weave a beautiful and wonderful kind of clothing that would remain invisible to anyone who was unfit for the governmental position that he held. The emperor immediately desires a new suit to be made from their special clothing so he might know which of those in positions under him were unfit and should be replaced. So he pays the large sum of money that was requested, and the weavers begin making a big show of setting up their looms and spinning the precious threads into clothing. The emperor sends several of his advisors to inspect the progress of the weavers, though in reality they saw nothing. Because they didn't want to be seen as unfit for their positions, they return to the emperor with descriptions of the beauty and the marvelous workmanship of the emperor's new clothes. The emperor himself comes and inspects the work and is dismayed in his heart that he cannot see anything. But if he were to admit that, then clearly he would expose himself of being unfit for his position. So instead, he praises the craft and the beauty of the fabric that the would-be weavers have been weaving. And the day comes when the weavers proclaim that the emperor's new clothes have been completed. They come to the emperor's chambers and display before the emperor the finished products of their creation. Here are your majesty's trousers. Here is the scarf. Here is the mantle. The whole suit is as light as a cobweb. One might fancy one has nothing at all on. And when dressed in it, however, that is the great virtue of this delicate cloth. The emperor allows himself to be dressed in his new clothes, and then, with his attendants holding the ends of his royal train, the emperor begins proceeding through the streets of the city so that his subjects can behold such magnificent clothing. And all those he passed would cry out, "Oh, the beauty of our emperor's new clothes! What a magnificent train there is to the mantle! How gracefully the scarf hangs!" And then a little boy cries out, "But the emperor has nothing on at all!" To which his father exclaims, "Listen to the voice of innocence!" And what the child said was whispered from one to the other, until at last all the people cry out, "But he has nothing at all on." The emperor was vexed, for he knew that the people were right. But he thought the procession must go on now, and the lords of the bedchamber took greater pains than ever to appear to hold the train, although in reality there was no train to hold. There are many who call themselves Christians, who view their faith much like the emperor tried to view his new clothes. Many insist that they have faith, that they believe in God, even if people aren't able to see any evidence of their faith. Perhaps you've heard people say, "My faith is a private matter." Or, "My faith is a personal thing," or, "My faith is just between me and God." But in our text today of Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21, Jesus explains to his disciples that there is no such thing as invisible faith in the Word of God. Because faith in God's Word, at least the kind of faith that is granted entrance into the kingdom of God, will inevitably be revealed through its fruit. Many of our Bible translations insert a heading here between verses 15 and 16, entitled something like "The Parable of the Lamp." Don't let that throw you off, because Jesus isn't altogether changing subjects here in verse 16. Jesus is taking what he has just said in verse 15 about the fruitful hearer, which we talked about last Sunday, and he is illustrating it here in verse 16. Jesus said in verse 15, the ones, the seed, that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it. They hold fast to it and bear fruit with patience. So what is the nature of that fruit? For the hearer who is believing the word of God, who is holding fast to the word of God, what is true about the fruit that this hearer bears? And that's the question we're going to be dealing with this morning. Jesus begins in verse 16 to describe to us the nature of the fruit that this hearer of God's word, the fruitful hearer, produces. I'd like to see, first of all, that the fruit of your faith in the word of God will be visible. Jesus begins by giving his disciples an illustration of light coming from a lamp. Look with me in verse 16. Jesus says in verse 16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. The illustration that Jesus gives is very simple. When you light a lamp, your intention in lighting that lamp is for the lamp's light to be seen. Growing up, my family didn't have very many flashlights. So whenever the power went out because of a storm, which has been happening fairly recently, or because of some kind of electrical malfunction, transformer blowing, my parents would instead pull out several kerosene lamps. They would take off the glass globe, they would light the wick, put the globe back in its place, and then they would raise the wick up until the light of the lamp shone at its brightest. They would light each one of our kerosene lamps and then place them at various points throughout the house, one in the dining room, one in the hallway, one in the bathroom. And where do you think, in each room, did they put those lamps? Do you think that they put the dining room lamp under the dining room table? Do you think that they put the bathroom lamp behind the shower curtain? Do you think that they put the hallway lamp in the hallway closet? Why not? Well, other than fire hazard, why don't you think they would have put the lamps in these places? Because if they had, the light of the lamps would not be seen. That would defeat the purpose of lighting the lamps in the first place. Obviously, my parents would put the lamps in places where their light would be the most visible. They put it on a table, or on the counter, or on an open shelf, on a lampstand. If you didn't want people to see, you wouldn't go through the trouble of lighting a lamp. But by lighting a lamp, your purpose is for its light to be seen, and not just by you, but by everyone who enters into that room. That's what true faith in the Word of God looks like. Like the light of a lamp is intended to be visible to all, true faith in the Word of God will be visible to all. And true faith in the Word of God will come in the form of visible fruit. The fruit of true faith in the Word of God will be seen. And this leads Jesus to explain more deeply why the fruit of true faith in the Word of God will be seen, why it will be visible. Verse 17, Jesus goes on to say, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." In other words, the fruit of true faith will be seen. The fruit of true faith in the Word of God will work its way out into the open. That's the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God is to change the very way that you live. If you truly believe the Word of God, it is impossible for that to be kept secret, because true faith is not something that can only be kept to yourself. Faith in the Word of God will inevitably impact your lifestyle to the point where people will be able to see that you are not like other people. So if you truly have faith in the Word of God, it will not be something that you can keep hidden. It will become known. It will come to light. And people will see that you believe in the Word of God because of the visible fruit of that faith in your lifestyle. So as we consider what Jesus is declaring about the nature of the believer's fruit, the first characteristic of this fruit is that it will be visible. But Jesus goes on to declare a second characteristic of this fruit, and that is, the fruit of your faith in the Word of God will increase. It will increase. And this is where Jesus' words take a much more serious turn. Verse 18 begins, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." If you were with us last Sunday, what has Jesus just been talking about in verses 11 through 16, or verse 15? Jesus was talking about the different kinds of hearers that the Word of God is proclaimed to. Just to review what we talked about last Sunday, you have four kinds of hearers of the Word of God. You have the hopeless hearer, which we read about is the kind of hearer who has the Word of God taken away out of his heart by Satan. He doesn't even have a chance. You have the superficial hearer, who initially receives the Word of God with joy. He believes it for a while, but when hardships arise, when his kind of faith is put to the test by trials, he falls away because of the trial. He's a superficial hearer. You also have the sensual hearer. And this is the one who allows worries and riches and pleasures to grow up together alongside his faith, and they choke out any fruitfulness that his faith should have produced. But then finally, you have the fruitful hearer. Because when he hears the Word of God, because God has given him a receptive heart, he holds fast to the Word of God. And because of his faith in the Word of God, because it is genuine, the fruitful here will inevitably bear the fruit of that faith. So now here in verse 18, Jesus is warning his disciples to take heed how they hear. Because there's a variety of ways that people hear. You must be mindful of the way that you receive the Word of God. You must be careful of the way that you receive the Word of God, because what must be the result of receiving the Word of God, if the Word of God is to have any eternal effect in your life, is that it must produce fruits. And not only will the fruit of genuine faith be seen, not only will it be visible in your life if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you truly believe the Word of God, Jesus goes on to declare that the fruit of genuine faith will increase. Continue reading here in verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Do you know that the genuine follower of Jesus Christ will produce more and more fruit? Do you know that a genuine follower of Jesus Christ will not settle for a certain level of fruitfulness or even let his fruitfulness diminish? If you have any fruits, any real, true, genuine fruits, this scripture says you will be given more. Let me show you two texts from scripture that add weight to this truth. Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Don't lose the Gospel of Luke here. Keep your finger there. But turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. It wasn't very long ago that we actually studied verses 3 through 11 of this passage. So this might sound pretty familiar to you. But 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 5 through 8, the Apostle Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if things are yours and what? If they're yours and abound, or if they're yours and increase, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here we see what increasing fruit looks like from our perspective. There are evidences of faith that God calls us not only to have, but also to increase in. And there must be active effort on the part of the Christian to grow in these evidences. The believer cannot expect these things to just appear and to start increasing in his life by simply sitting on the couch watching TV. It's not going to happen that way. You don't grow by osmosis. God has designed the Christian life in such a way that the Christian cannot at the same time be passive and productive. Someone who truly believes the Word of God will be involved in actively engaging in the work that God intends to accomplish in his life. But also, a second text makes this clear. Look over at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Again, a very familiar text to many of you. John chapter 15 begins in verse 1, reading this way. It says, "I am the true vine," right? This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does the Father do with it?" What does he do with it? He prunes it. Why? So that it'll bear more fruit. Because what is it that brings glory to God? That you just have some fruit? What does Jesus say in verse 8? That you have just a little bit of fruit? What brings glory to God? Verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." So here in the Gospel of John, we see that ultimately, increase in fruit is something that the Father himself is responsible for. It's something that the Father himself does in the life of a true follower of Jesus Christ. The believer will have an active role in his own fruitfulness, including the increase of that fruit, But it is ultimately God whose power is at work in us to give us the desire and the ability to bear fruit in our lives. So as we flip back to Luke chapter 8, you have this truth. Whoever has, if you have some fruit, if you have a little bit of fruit, if it's real, genuine fruit, whoever has, more will be given to him. That's the promise of God. Your fruit will increase. Just as a fruit tree grows year after year, it produces more and more fruit as the years go by. The fruit of true faith in the Word of God will increase. But what if there is no fruit? What if someone professes faith in Jesus Christ, who professes faith in the Word of God, does not have fruit evidencing that faith in their life? What then? Well, Jesus says something about that. Read on here at the end of Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Whoever does not have, what does he say? Even what he seems to have, or some translations say, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. A person may have something that resembles faith. They could know all the right doctrine. They could even be in church every week. They could have read the Bible cover to cover 25 times. But what might look like faith may in fact not be faith, because if that faith is empty of visible and increasing fruit, that version of faith that he professes, according to the words of Jesus, is going to be taken away from him. Because a faith in the Word of God that produces no fruit is not faith in the Word of God at all. A faith without fruit is a false faith. A faith without fruit is an empty faith. The book of James, chapter 2, says a faith without fruit is a dead faith. And do you think a dead faith can save you? It can't. If a person has a faith that is producing no fruit, even the kind of faith that he appears to have or thinks he has will be taken away from him. And he will have nothing in which he can stand before God that will be able to shelter him from the wrath of God that God will pour out on unbelieving sinners. So if you are putting your faith in something, or if your faith is a kind of faith that does not produce fruit, you need to be ready for God's wrath. Faith must produce fruit in order for that faith to be genuine. This is what Jesus has declared to his disciples. The nature of this fruit is twofold. The fruit of genuine faith will be visible, and the fruit of faith will increase. But this brings us at last to the answer to the all-important question. What is fruit? You might have noticed that Jesus has not yet given a straightforward definition of what this fruit actually is. Jesus has declared all kinds of things about this fruit. He has revealed to his disciples the nature of this fruit and the necessary characteristics of this fruit. Yet we know it must be visible. We know that, yes, it will increase. But what exactly does this fruit look like? When we see it, how do we know that what we are looking at is, in fact, fruit? It just so happens that our answer to this question is revealed in a relatively insignificant event that follows in verse 19. Because what happens in verse 19, you see someone very near and dear to Jesus seeking him. His mother, his brothers come to Jesus and they could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told Jesus by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." And what does Jesus answer and say in response? He says, "My mother and my brothers are these." Now you can picture motioning to his disciples at this moment. "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and what? And do it." What does "do it" mean? It means they obey it. What is the fruit of faith in the Word of God? My friends, the fruit of faith in the Word of God is obedience. Few times we've sung the song, "Trust and Obey," because the reality is there is no other way. Not just to be happy in Jesus, but to be rescued by Jesus. The one who has fruit is the one who obeys the word of God. The word that he has heard, he does. It is obedience to the word of God that sets the follower of Jesus apart from everyone else. It is obedience to the word of God that distinguishes you as a member of the family of God even more than being a blood relative of Jesus himself. Right? Look at the significance of what Jesus is saying. His blood mother and his blood brothers, right, all born from Mary, were trying to come and see him. Guess who's more of a family member to Jesus? As someone who obeys the word of God. So when a person hears the word of God, you know he has come to believe it when the word of God bears in his life the fruit of obedience. If someone truly believes God's word, obedience will result. It will be visible. If someone truly believes God's word, obedience will increase. So knowing what we know about the nature of the fruit of genuine faith, let me, in the words of the author of Hebrews, let me exhort you today, as long as it is today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. How are you hearing? How are you hearing? I'm talking about right now, this moment, in this room. How are you hearing the word of God? Are you hearing the word of God right now in such a way that the result will be obedience? Because that is how true followers of Jesus respond when they hear the word of God. They respond with obedience to the word of God. But do you know that it's possible? And perhaps there's someone in this room this morning who came to hear the word of God without any thought of how you might obey it. And I know that's possible because I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty of countless times where I have sat under the preaching and teaching of the faithful word of God, and the thought of how to obey it has never crossed my mind. My friend, at any time that you hear the Word of God. And quite frankly, any time that you read the Word of God, right? Reading the Word of God is just the same thing. It's hearing with your eyes instead of your ears. Anytime you hear the Word of God, you need to come to the Word of God with the agenda of immediately taking the Word that you have heard and putting it into practice in your daily life. You need to have an agenda every time you walk through these doors on Sunday morning. Every time you walk through these doors on Wednesday night, you need to have the agenda of wanting to obey what you hear. As a follower of Jesus Christ, every time you hear or read the Word of God, you have an obligation to prepare your heart ahead of time to embrace everything the Word of God teaches you and obey it. The disciple of Jesus is one who believes the Word of God and bears the fruit of obedience as a result of his belief. This fruit of obedience will be visible. It's impossible to hide obedience to God's Word. This fruit of obedience will also increase. The disciple of Jesus understands that his aim in his obedience is to walk in the same way that Jesus himself walked. You know who Jesus is, right? He is the perfectly righteous Son of God who is obedient in every way. The goal of the follower of Jesus is to purify himself as Jesus is pure. Not like Pastor Judd is pure. Guess what? You can attain that pretty easily. But Jesus? That's altogether different. Because he's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly pure. He is the level of maturity that we all must seek to attain. And since only Jesus professes a perfect obedience, there will always be areas in our lives that need to be conformed to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In this life, therefore, the fruit of obedience will continue to increase. That's what it means to believe the Word of God. So friends, in the words of Jesus, you who profess faith in the Word of God, you who profess faith in Jesus Christ, take heed how you hear. Are you taking heed how you hear? Even this morning, are you taking heed to what the Word of God has said? Do not come to the teaching of God's Word with dull ears. Don't come to the teaching of the Word of God without expecting and desiring God's Word to affect your lifestyle. That is what the obedient child of God does. That's what the person who has faith in the Word of God does. Therefore, take heed how you hear. And may your hearing of the Word of God yield the visible and ever-increasing fruit of obedience. Let's pray together.